Perception and Reality, Rabbi Akiva's Revolution Regarding Love and What It Can Teach Us Today, a sermon delivered by Rabbi Michael Siegel on Chol HaMoed Passover, the Sabbath of Passover 2020.
Hark, O my lovers coming, bounding over the mountains, leaping over the hills. My lover is like a deer or like a stag. Oh, he stands behind our wall, peering through the windows, peeping through the crannies. My lover spoke out and said to me, "Arise, my friend, my fair one, go. For look, the winter has passed. The rain has gone away. Buds can be seen in the land. The nightingale season has come. And the turtle dove's voice is heard in our land. The fig tree has put forth its green fruit, and the vines in blossom waft fragrance. Arise and go, my friend, my fair one, go forth. Myth dove in the rock's crevices, in the hollow of the cliff, show me how you look. Let me see, let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet, and your face is lovely." Beautiful words, loving, even sensual words. But are they biblical words? This quotation is taken from the Song of Songs, the love poetry of our people. My question to you is, what is this book doing in the Bible? Moreover, why do we read it on Passover? And finally, what can we learn from it as Chicago prepares for the peak of the coronavirus? These are questions that I would like to consider with you on this Shabbat Chol HaMoed Pesach. In order to answer these questions, we will need to know something about one of the most remarkable Jews who ever lived, Akiva ben Yosef, Rabbi Akiva. Person who single-handedly ensured that the Song of Songs made it into the biblical canon. The other thing that would help in our quest is to reconsider the words of the fantasy writer Terry Goodkind. Reality is irrelevant. Perception is everything. Let's turn our attention back to Rabbi Akiva. In his marvelous book, Rabbi Akiva, Sage of the Talmud, Barry Holtz wrote, "Why should we care about this figure who lived 2,000 years ago? I think it's because the story of his life is both archetypal and unique. It's easy to be drawn into the tale of his life. Born in poverty, unschooled in his religious tradition, Akiva mocked scholars and disdained them. But then a kind of religious revelation comes to him, and he decides that despite his advanced age, he must learn Torah, starting from the very basics of the alphabet. And this man, enemy of scholars and profoundly ignorant, becomes the greatest rabbi of them all. Along the way, he courts the daughter of a wealthy man who opposes the relationship and wins her heart, and eventually the respect of her father through his learning. He is seen as both mystic and practical legal analyst, both theologian and text interpreter. Akiva disputes with his colleagues in dramatic fashion, yet he is admired and beloved by his peers. And in the end, he becomes the exemplar of Jewish martyrs, executed by the Romans with the Shema, the central confession of Judaism, on his lips. We don't know where Akiva was born or even where he lived in later life. He is sometimes associated with the town of Bnei Brak, which we made reference to at our Passover Seders. Maaseh, a tale of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Elazar, son of Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Tarfon. They were reclining at the Seder in Bnei Brak, telling the tale of the going out of Egypt and That's how we know him. And finally, we don't know where Akiba died. Don't know where he's buried. But we know in great detail how he died. Rabbi Akiva was amongst rabbis who were living in the years just after the sacking of Jerusalem by the Romans and the destruction of the temple. They led the Jewish people through one of the most difficult and tumultuous times in Jewish history. The temple and the sacrificial cult were central to Jewish worship. Had we lived in the time of the temple, we would probably be in Jerusalem right now, as it was the crown of the pilgrimage festivals. We would have probably purchased our lamb right outside the temple, had a priest slaughter it, and spent the night in the surrounding hills of Jerusalem telling the tale of the going out from Egypt. The temple was also the symbol of God's presence on earth and the physical manifestation of the power of the relationship between God and Israel. And now it lay in ruins. What would replace it? Those very same rabbis of B'nai Brak were amongst those who served as the architects of a post-70, post-temple Judaism. They were bold, and they were decisive, and they helped to institute a Jewish version of the Marshall Plan to secure the Jewish religion and bolster the Jewish people at a moment when their world literally buckled beneath their feet. The Judaism that they would help to create was based upon words, upon interpretations, upon prayer rather than sacrifice. In short, what we call rabbinic Judaism. One of their first tasks was to create an authorized canon of the Hebrew Bible. Before the destruction, aside from the canon of the Torah, there were many works that claimed to be the Word of God. Some reflected radical theologies. These rabbis took it upon themselves to choose which books would be accepted and which would be rejected. And at the head of the table was Rabbi Akiva. In the Mishnah, the rabbis are seen disputing the status of the Book of Ecclesiastes and the Song of Songs. Rabbi Judah the Patriarch, Rabbi Yossi the Galilean, and Rabbi Shimon ben Azai are all weighing in. Do these two books, they asked, have sacred status? Regarding the Song of Songs, Akiba made an impassioned argument, bringing the discussion to a close. Heaven forbid, he said, no person in Israel ever disputed the holiness of the Song of Songs. For all the ages are not equal to the day when the Song of Songs was given to Israel. For all the writings are sacred, but the Song of Song is the holy of holies. And if there was any dispute, it was only about the very sobering and iconoclastic Book of Ecclesiastes, which, by the way, made it into the canon as well. If some of Rabbi Akiva's colleagues had doubts as to the song's sacred nature, he himself had none. In his view, it was truly the Holy of Holies. It says in the Midrash, quoting Rabbi Akiva, had the Torah not been given, it would have been possible to conduct the world on the basis of the Song of Songs alone. In other words, the entire creation, every aspect of the Torah, is contained in the Song of Songs. Akiba's association with the Song of Songs, then, is deeply embedded within Jewish tradition, highlighting the emphasis that he placed on love as its central value. Reality is irrelevant. Perception is everything. Imagine in a time when the Jewish people felt most abandoned, as God had physically abandoned the Beit HaMikdash, God's holy house, Rabbi Akiva stepped forward and offered the Song of Songs as a bold counter-argument. God had not abandoned us at all. We are all lovers, and God is coming for us. Rabbi Akiva not only lived by this bold theology, he died by it. Each year when Jews gather on Yom Kippur, we read the Eila Eskara, the martyrology, and we speak of those 10 rabbis who were martyred in terrible ways for the sin of teaching Torah. Rabbi Akiva was executed by the Romans in a way to ensure that he would suffer the most excruciating of deaths. And while this was going on, Rabbi Akiva's students watched him reciting the Shema, followed by the V'ahavta, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And they looked at him and they saw the scene and they cried out to their master and teacher and said, Akiva, our master, even now at this moment, you are expressing your faith, speaking of love. Akiva responded, all my life I was troubled that I wouldn't be able to fulfill the verse to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. What if God were to take my life? I asked myself, when that time came, will I be able to recite the verse? Now that I have the possibility, shouldn't I fulfill it? For Akiva, reality is irrelevant. Perception was everything. And in this way, the inclusion of the Song of Songs changed the relationship between God and Israel and opened the door to a powerful force which helps sustain the Jewish soul, not only during the long night of exile, but to this very day. Mysticism, Kabbalah, created a perception that was far from the reality of the Jewish people. It was the inspiration of the Baal Shem Tov in his creation of Hasidism at a particularly terrible time in Jewish history. This notion of a powerful love between God and Israel sustains us to this very day when Jews around the world rise at the last stanza of Lecha Dodi and they say, Bo'i Kala, Bo'i Kala. We are channeling Rabbi Akiva's interpretation of the Song of Songs. In this way, Rabbi Akiva gave the Jewish people an alternative way of looking at the universe. And that has made a significant difference. I wonder what Rabbi Akiva can teach us in the age of the coronavirus. When our world has been upended in every possible way, what perception can help us recast our reality? Here, I offer you another passage about love, the very pinnacle of the Torah. V'ahavta l'reacha chamocha, love your neighbor as yourself, or as the great scholar Shaul Lieberman translated it, love your neighbor because he is like you. What if in this age of fear, we led with love? That is what I believe the first responders, doctors and nurses on the front lines who risk their lives and those in essential services are doing. They put themselves out there for us. Their very safety is at risk each and every day. V'ahavta l'reacha chamocha, loving your neighbor because they are like them. And what of us who are sequestered at home? When we go out wearing a mask, we're not only protecting ourselves, but we are also protecting our neighbor let us do it out of love. When we walk outside, let us greet one another to ensure that we are seeing the other's face behind the mask, and we're also seeing the value of each and every human being. We are loving our neighbor when we keep in contact with each other just because they might be lonely. We are leading with love when we make a contribution to local pantries like the Lakeview Pantry, who are so overwhelmed. This past week, I sent a video greeting to Pastor Harris and the members of the Bright Star Church. Knowing how disproportionate the death toll is for people of color in our city, I wanted them to know that we at Anshamet, we care deeply about them, and that not only are we standing with them spiritually now, but we will lead with love when this pandemic ends and continue to stand with them. None of us can do very much to help people in places like Bronzeville at this moment, but I can express our love. I can express our concern. And that will, Dayenu, have to be enough for us now, but not into the future. Not for those who take on V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha as an imperative. Love your neighbor because they are like you. Perception is everything. And as Rabbi Akiva taught, love can be transformative. On this Shabbat morning, when we follow the teachings of Rabbi Akiva and read from the Song of Songs, I ask you to reflect on how one man changed the perception of our people by including a book of love poetry, having the courage to present a bold theology that led with love. Think of how it sustained our people, how it gave us hope. Consider how you might fulfill the loftiest commandment of the Torah, the commandment to love your neighbor because they are like you. Do it in the name of Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Love your neighbor as yourself.